Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 81 of the Weekly Long Box. I'm Leonard, joined as always by Todd. Todd, how are we doing today?
I'm doing pretty good, pretty good. How are you doing?
Not too good. How was your weekend?
It was a hot weekend. I did a little yard work. I almost had some heat stroke. Other than that, I'm fine.
Yeah, I had my heat stroke on Tuesday when I was out there mowing the lawn. Luckily, it was cooling off a little bit, but fat guys and doing thing does not mix.
No, it doesn't.
No. So I'm excited to do the show today, kind of get my mind off the events of this past weekend. As I was lamenting to Todd before the show started recording, it stinks to be out of, a paying gig. I've got a lot of irons in the fire, and this is just one less iron, I guess.
Yeah, sad to hear that. But, you know, yeah. It opens you up. Now we can go do more cons together. That's what we'll do.
I hope so. I hope so. It'll get a chance. Again, we were, I guess it's Chikara's last show. As we were getting ready, and I was out in the line getting the tickets and everything, it was cool to see a lot of the fans, the people for the Comic-Con coming by, because we're on the same block as Comic-Con was this past week, and Sunday is Kids Day, and there was tons and tons of kids both going to the con and that came to the Chikara show, and crazy things. A lot of people online were speculating, and I'll be honest with you, I didn't think anything was going to come of it. And I think the fans in attendance, and I don't know how much you saw, but security punched one of our staffers, tossed most of us out the back or front doors.
No.
And it's crazy.
I heard something about somebody maybe breaking a door or something like that. That's
yeah,
all I heard.
One of the fans decided, he was so, after getting tossed out of the show, of course, and, the fans were upset, but, he destroying property is a whole other thing together, and he, I guess, smashed up the front door of the Trocadero.
That's dedication, I guess.
I guess, man. It's nice to have loyal fans, and I'm that loyal, but I know to draw the line. I do know back in the day, back in the 90s, I would lament to my friend that if I ever went to a live Nitro taping and I got close enough, I'd try to slug that Eric Bischoff, but...
isn't that guy, he was running the things back then, I guess?
He was.
Okay. I vaguely recall the name.
So enough about that. Let's get into some comic stuff. We actually had some news, and a lot of it centers around a big news story that's been going on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that's been talked about and teased about for the last several months online and here on the show. But we're going to get into the nitty-gritty of what's been released so far in regards to Villains Month at DC this upcoming September.
Dun, 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 villains.
And this is an unintentional theme to the show. There is talk again of the Booster Gold pilot getting dusted off. There's talk of Fables getting dusted off to be made into a movie. There's talk of one of Todd and I's favorite creative teams possibly collaborating on something new in the future for DC.
Who could that be?
And you'll find out more about that once we get toward, as the show goes on, I'm sure. And the return of a site that was just a month ago thought to be done for. And we'll cover all that along with digital freebies, what we read last week. And unfortunately, I did not pull my weight this week. I did not get a chance to read a lot of stuff. It was a hectic weekend. It was that's when I get a chance to read a lot of my stuff. And Super Secret Science has been very busy as well.
Yes. You got lots of irons in the fire.
Yes. And, of course, the book that we're looking forward to coming out this week. Now, do you think we're going to cross over this week? Or do you think we're going to have the same book?
I don't know. This one's tricky because I'm all over the map on this one. I might have three picks this week. I don't know.
Yeah. It's a really good week of stuff. And I think I'm making the choice. I'm making the choice for myself. One above everything else, of course. Sketch Party. Did you have something for Sketch Party, and did I miss it?
I thought I put up Kevin Eastman, Casey Jones.
I think I missed it. Let me go hunt that down right now.
Okay, you do that. I'll vamp. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I put that up. I'm looking now,
And then, of course, yes, I see it right here. That's easy to click on. And Todd has some news to talk about as well. Some news that I protested. I did not want to talk about this on the show due to how much it hurts me to speak about.
Are you going to filibuster Patton Oswalt filibuster me?
Maybe. All maybe. Right. And then, of course, we have the Twitter question from last week, which was your favorite cover. And we got a lot of entries. I like when we have a lot of interaction with our listeners, a lot of people that I haven't seen respond to stuff in quite some time. Hopefully you've been listening and just been keeping silent. But we'll go over all of that. And Todd, I think we're going to start in the news with Villains Month.
Okay, villains it is.
So not only is it Villains Month, not only is it 3D covers, and I want to say, the online GIFs, or JPEGs, whatever the kids are calling them these days,
mm-hmm.
Of the covers for Villains Month are pretty damn cool.
Mm-hmm. That's, you know, that's what they wanted. They want them to jump out at you on the shelf, so you gravitate towards them, you know?
And in the press release, they claim that it's going to be this new fancy 3D technology that's going to make them almost look that way on the shelves. And I tell you, those are some appealing covers if you're looking at them.
Mm-hmm. And like we said, you know, I hear a lot of people talking about, like, you know, that they're gimmicks and stuff like that, and I agree with them. The only thing with me is they're all going to be $3.99, and I'm wondering if some of them are going to be $2.99 books, and if that, like, what the page count is, you know, if it's just an extra dollar on some of them for the cover, then you know, I'm not too cool with that. But, you know, it we'll see how it works out.
Well, here's the thing I'm not cool about. Now, I'm fine if we're paying an extra dollar 1 month. You know, no big deal. These are fancy covers. Now, I would like the option to choose not to have the fancy cover.
Right.
You know, I don't think that will be an option that's provided to us, but I'm sure I will live. Here's the part that gets me, and the positive of it and the negative of it. They're actually numbering the books in a way that will not mess me up when I'm organizing my books.
That's what I thought of. They're like point ones, and I was like, Leonard won't lose his mind.
Right. But here's where the issue comes in. It's the multiples that each title has.
That's one of the problems that I have, too.
Yeah. Ahead. As it stands right now, as of this recording, Flash has 3 issues that month. So far, every of the main Bat books, Batman, Detective Comics, Batman and Robin, and Batman the Dark Knight, each of those have 4 issues in the month of September. Action Comics has 4 issues in the month of September. Superman has 4 issues in the month of September. Justice League has 4 issues in the month of September. Aquaman has 2 issues in the month of September. And Earth 2 has 2 issues in the month of September. Now, some of them are by the creative team, and some of them the normal creative team, and some of them are not. Some of them are by different creative teams, like one that sticks out to me is Ventriloquist, the Ventriloquist one that's crossing over into Dark Knight Return, or the Dark Knight Rises book. Is it the Dark Knight, or Dark Knight, what is that one called, the Dark Knight book? I don't know, because I don't normally read it.
I think it's just the Dark Knight, but I could be wrong on that. I don't know.
Okay, yes, it's just called Batman the Dark Knight. So that one's about the Ventriloquist, and it's written by Gail Simone, which does lead me to believe that maybe some of them might be replacing some of the lower titles, quote-unquote. Like, that sounds like it's probably going to be the Batgirl replacement book for the month.
You said Batgirl?
Yes.
Okay, just making sure.
Because Ventriloquist just showed up in the most recent issue of Batgirl. That's written by Gail Simone. Leads me to believe, there you go.
Right.
However, if that also means that in addition to this, we're also going to be getting an issue of Batgirl, I get enough of this double dipping with Marvel shipping books like twice a month.
Right.
With DC shipping some of these books 4 times in the month. This is just, like, it's out of hand.
That really is. And now, I know this is going to be blasphemy because, you know, me and you are DC guys, but Marvel gets away with it with me on a lot of stuff because the quality is there, and it's usually the same creators with the artists being different. You know, like, we'll get so many issues of Thor with Asad Ribic, you know, and Aaron writing it. Then you'll get, like, all right, a fill-in from this guy, or all new X-Men will be Bendis writing it all the time, but different artists. And I'm like, okay, well, now, like you said, it's who's on what book, just different writers and different artists. I'm like, this is not, like, cohesive, and you're really going to make me pick and choose, and I'm not going to choose a lot of them, because that's a lot of books.
Right, just as a perfect example, they have out there the four issues of Batman that are coming out. And of the four issues of Batman that are coming out, I'm getting the one that's by the regular creative team, by Scott Snyder. I'm probably not going to get the other three.
Do you know which character that is off the top of your head?
Riddler.
Riddler. Okay, because I know the Joker one will sell, no matter who's writing it, but with everything that we just came out of. But, yeah, I'm the same way. I'll probably just pick up the Scott Snyder Riddler one and, you know, and look, you know, and go by creator and stuff like that. I don't know what else to do, you know?
And I'll tell you this, as terrible as it is to say, the Joker one, which is an awesome cover... everybody else has lamented online, like, there's your number one book for the month. Like, that's a given. There's your number one book for the month. The fact that it's solicited with art by To Be Announced and written by Andy Kubert.
That was the thing that made me laugh when I saw it. I was like, yeah, that's what I want from Andy.
Yeah.
Is his writing. So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, Peter Tomasi is writing a ton of these books. You know, I'm tempted by the Justin Gray, Jimmy Pamiotti, Mr. Freeze book, but I don't know.
See, now that's one that I'll pick up just because, you know, I'm loyal.
Right. But, right.
You know, give it a try, but I don't know.
That previews is going to be like a, it's going to be very interesting on how I put these together, my my pull list for that month.
Yeah, it's going to be
just tough. When I thought they were going to make it simple, they made it that much more complicated.
Yeah, well, you know what? At least it may be complicated to pick, but at least you'll know where to put them in your boxes, and I won't have to hear about it for a month.
That's correct.
So, but like, it's going to make it really tough for me on the Tuesday before Wednesday when these books come out to choose which ones I want. That's the way I'm deciding.
Ah, now I could help you.
Oh, I don't want your pool service help thing. I got my own system, and it's foolproof, because I know I'm a fool, and I haven't wrecked it yet. But I'm good.
So, again, yes, yeah, so we don't even have the full listing of things, and everything's being released in, like, different spots. I'm sure probably by next week we'll have the full solicitations for DC online, and then we can kind of talk more about the crazy creative teams, the new characters. Mm-hmm. There's also the multiple miniseries that are coming out, the Forever Evil miniseries.
Mm-hmm.
So DC is looking to flood the market in September.
With evil.
With evil.
And that's, you know, they're going to steal money from pocketbooks. Like, they're trying to get the dollar amount of sales up and compete with Marvel, like you said, because Marvel puts out as many books as they can, and they're losing ground. And this, they hope, will work. And I don't think it's going to work as well as they think it is.
Mm-hmm.
So
we shall see.
Yes.
The fancy covers is a gimmick that is going to get a lot of people into stores, and I know how much you like that.
Yeah, I try to just lay off how, you know, how they affect me.
But again, I, you know, like I said, looking at those covers online, the way they're animated, they look super cool.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, I'm sure back in the day we're like, man, that hollow foil cover is super cool.
Oh, you remember when Wolverine lost his adamantium and he had the little hollow thing, his card on it, and I was like, that's what I want. Or the Doctor Strange prismatic, you know, spell bubbles coming at you. Oh, those
wasn't
were
for
the days.
What? That was for like the first issue of Secret Defenders or something, wasn't it?
I think it was like Doctor Strange 50 back in the day. I remember he had a Minotaur buddy, which everybody wants. That's, I bought it. I'll admit, I bought that issue. That was probably the only one that I did. They got me. They saw me coming, as you always say.
So as these are coming out and being announced and everything, hopefully one of the things that we'll see announced is our favorite creative team of Keith Giffen, J.M. DeMatteis, and Kevin Maguire teaming up on something. What that something is, who knows, because Keith Giffen was interviewed by comicbook.com. That's about as simple of a URL as it gets. It was being interviewed about the Larfleeze book, and when asked about working with DeMatteis again, he had said, probably never, since he's working on another book with me and Kevin, and I know that it should be, you know, DeMatteis' name first, so on and so forth. But yeah, so he says that the three of them are going to be working together on something, and I can only imagine what it is. But you know what? I don't think it matters, because I'll be buying it.
I'm iffy. no. whatever that may be, I'm in. And there's one project off the top of my head. I remember a while back they were on, I think Kevin was on Facebook saying, like, what would you like to see us do if we ever did anything again? And mine would be Space Cabbie. And here's why. I'm just going to do, like, the quick pitches that you like. It's the TV show Taxi in space. That's all you need. You're done. And you got a show.
Well, there was the speculation a couple, about a year or so ago of them doing the New Gods book.
Yeah, that's not going to happen because the way they're slipping in the New Gods in, like, every other book that I'm reading, there's a different New God in it. So I think they're trying to work up to something there. I think it'll be a smaller project on the outside, you know, that really won't, you know, tie into the New 52 too much. So I could see, like, a space book or something.
Was that to, other than Wonder Woman, where else are they popping up?
Earth 2. Desaad was in there.
You know, that's a different Earth, right?
Right. Vibe had Darkseid's daughter.
Okay.
I'm trying to think what other books I did see some stuff in. Off the top of my head, I'm not too sure, but I read a couple of different books that seemed to have them show. Where did Mr. Miracle and Barda show up? I saw them recently. I don't know. But even if it's two, they're probably building to something. They're not going to, as much as I love them, I don't see them as being like their big name draw to do the New Gods.
I would like to think so. I hope so. Maybe. Who knows? But it doesn't matter what it is that they're working on, because like I said, I'll be picking it up just as you will.
Right.
So one of the other things that I wanted to mention here, of course, with the news is the Booster Gold and Fables projects in Hollywood. Fables back to film, just essentially that interest has picked back up, I'm sure, due to the success of the completely unrelated Once Upon a Time TV show, and the Booster Gold pilots may be going to get a script for Sci-Fi here shortly.
That'd be really cool. I'd like to see a Booster Gold TV show. I've never read any Fables, so I don't know. I would go see a Fables movie, but the one I'm more interested in is to see how they do Booster Gold, especially since it's probably going to be not a high budget on that, I can imagine. So, see what they can do with what they have over at Sci-Fi.
I think you can get away with stuff like, while not as high as a budget, you don't have to go super, super crazy with all of this. And I think a time-traveling Booster Gold kind of displaced future hero in our time, dealing with a bunch of, like, criminals and his ways, or even, like, imagine this. Just do it as a redo of, like, a Briscoe County Jr. Sort of show. Mm-hmm. And that was relatively low budget for its time.
Yes, it was, and it was really good. But the difference with that is that was, you know, set in the Old West, where, you know, you get horses and you have a few sets, like flying and time travel. And if you're going to use the future at all, that's kind of, well, then again, you know, those, they have like Sharktopus, and those effects are fantastic. So I don't see any problem.
Right. So I'm excited. I hope the Fables movie gets made, because while Fables kind of did peter out there, I felt it could have ended right around 100. That would have been a nice nice capper on everything. It is still going. I'm not with it, but those first like 100 or so issues are really, really awesome. The first 50 or so are extremely awesome.
One of those that I've been meaning to get around to, I just haven't had the time to sit down and go, like, I know I want to read at least 50 to 100 issues. You need dedication for that kind of stuff.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
Looking forward to it.
Yes. And one of the other things that I wanted to mention as well is that Comics Alliance, one of my favorite sites, it was one of the sites that I would check every morning. Check this site at least twice a day. 9 o'clock, they would put like some news stuff up, and then around 2-3 o'clock, they would put some real fun columns and reviews and stuff. It was closed down by AOL along with a lot of their other sites about a month or so ago, and then Town Square, which is something I'm not very familiar with, purchased Comics Alliance and a few of the other closed-down AOL media sites. So I'm happy to see Comics Alliance back, because I like the website a lot, and some friends of mine work there as well, so I'm glad that they have a job again.
Yeah, that's people need to have jobs.
In a time when I've lost some work, I'm glad some friends of mine have work back. He actually, one of the guys that worked there, he came down to Georgia for one of the last Chikara shows about a month or so ago. It was practically, he had found out that Monday that Comics Alliance was shut down. He's like, I still came to the show. You know what I mean? I'm still a fan. I'm still going to be here, etc.
That's cool. Fans, you know, they're dedicated.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. So I'm glad to see Comics Alliance back. And I think that covers everything in the news. You know, kind of ambivalent about the just too many books with this the Villains Month thing. But we'll see.
Yeah. Well, you're loaded.
I am. Well, you know, I'm loaded. It's getting a little lighter.
Yeah.
So just continuing on here, the free digital books that are available. There's actually no sales going on right now. Comixology had a bunch of sales going on over the weekend of Atomic Robo and a few other things. Atomic Robo is a great series. Hopefully you got a chance to check that out. But this week, the free books are Age of Apocalypse number one, which is, I think, wrapping up now. It's tying into some of the other X books that are being canceled. Daredevil Yellow by Jeff Loeb and Tim Sale, kind of in the vein of your different color series, the Spider-Man Blue, the Hulk Gray, and the Captain America Red, White, and Blue, which will never see the light of day.
Someday, after Scarlet comes out.
Yes, there you go. There you go. Hey, listen, Bendis said the scripts are done, and you're just waiting on the finished art.
There. Well, any day.
Any day now, that's right. And the other book is one I highly recommend, highly, highly recommend, is Avengers Academy, number one, by Christos Gage. That is available for free, and I cannot stress enough to check that one out, because that is a really, really good book.
That was a fun book. I really enjoyed that. It was tearjerker at times.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And again, of course, just always to mention, excuse me, that Bandette is still available, I think, for about another month and a half. They said it'll be available for free up until San Diego, which I think is around the second or third week of July. So,
yeah,
if you haven't grabbed it by now, grab it while the getting's good.
You should. Is that all the digital books this week?
That is all the digital books this week.
I think now would be a good time to mention our sponsor, Bake Me a Wish. Leonard, you know how you have problems making choices on what cake you would want because there's so many delicious flavors?
Well, for me, there's so many. There's chocolate, peanut butter, and all others.
Right. Well, Bake Me a Wish is making it easier this month because their featured cake is four mini cakes.
Oh, that's four a good deal.
Layer cakes. They're you know, 4 inches wide, that you get four of them. And, you know, they have flavors like chocolate mousse torte and caramel apple, cinnamon coffee cake, and they have like seven other flavors, and you can mix and match what you want, you know, of those till you get four. And that way, if you're like, oh, I don't know if I want this one or that one, I think that's really cool because me, I just like a lot of cake. And to me, if one cake is good, four cakes is better.
That's right. And I'm looking at that now, and it's you get to pick any four of up to 10 different flavors, and it's the usual shipping stuff that goes along with it. All the great stuff that Bake Me a Wish has come to bring you, our listeners, and anyone else who checks them out. And like I said, you don't even need to let them know that we sent you. No codes to put in, no microphone to click on, no nothing like that like you hear on every other podcast. You go to Bake Me a Wish, you order a cake, and they know it was us that sent you there. I don't know how they do it magically. Something with the internet, something with global positioning devices. And hey, I know someone's birthday is coming up. You should, you the listeners, should send Todd a cake.
Me? I don't deserve cake.
Plain you deserve coin. More than cake. Don't be one of these people that like pie instead of cake, for shame.
Oh, no, I'm just not deserving of cakes this good, is what I'm saying. You know, birthdays, Father's Day, Flag Day, I'll take a cake anytime.
Mm.
Even though I'm not a father or a flag, but I do have a birthday.
Oh, boy. So, yeah, definitely check Bake Me a Wish out. Tons and tons of great stuff available to them for you, our listeners.
Mm-hmm.
So, Todd, since you read more stuff this week and I am slacking, where would you like to begin with books this week?
I'm going to start with New Avengers.
New Avengers number 6. Now, I'll be honest with you, Todd. I did not know you were still reading this book.
This is one of those books that I like a lot, but you know how, like, sometimes I can bag on art and be down about it? I don't know if you know that about me. This is one of those books that the art, like, if the story slipped, would keep me around, because it's Steve Epting, and right now, looking through this issue, Steve Epting, I'd want him on just about any book that I'm reading. He's just that good right now.
Right.
This looks really good, and the story's basically, the new Avengers are, like, basically kind of a hush-hush group of Avengers. We're finding out that Earths from other dimensions, or, like, you know, where the 616 or whatever, the other Earths, are starting to converge and merge into the same spot. So their only option is to destroy one of the Earths, and so they look maybe the other one instead of the one they're on, but they're torn that they don't want to do that. They want to look for other options, and so far they found them, but they're running out of time. And this issue is really cool because when the event hits, it's only in a local, you can only see it in a localized area, and this time they find out that it's in Latveria.
Ah.
And they have to go, and they're like, oh, well, now maybe Doom knows about what's going on, and they're trying to hide stuff. And there's a couple of pages from this book that I actually want. It's just that good. And it's a fun ride. You know, Hickman gets a little Hickman-y at times. I don't like him on the regular Avengers, but I've been really enjoying the new Avengers, so.
Yeah, and that's the thing I was wondering. I know you had said that, you know, you're kind of a Hickman guy and you'll stick with his stuff like you did with Fantastic Four and FF. And why did I think that you had kind of hung it up on this?
Because I hung it up on Avengers that he's writing.
Okay.
Maybe you're just confused on, you know, the name of which book that I let go. The regular Avengers title, they were doing the whole, like, in the first couple issues, here's the new members, some of them are brand new people, and we're going to go do their origin and everything. And I thought it was really boring and redundant for the first couple issues. And I know Hickman can take you places, but I was just like, as we were talking about, I'm reading so much stuff that I was like, I'm not going to wait for this to get good. It's got to be good now. Maybe I'll pick up a trade if I hear really good things later. Enjoying the new Avengers. Go ahead.
So reading New Avengers, but not reading the other Avengers book, are they as closely tied as the two Fantastic Four books were, or not? Or
not at all that I can see. Now, on the other end, I don't know if they're, like, mentioning this book, but this one, because they're the only ones who know about the Earths, like, colliding, that they're keeping everything super secret. So, like, they don't want the other teams to know about them. And then there's stuff with Reed and Black Panther that's coming out of Hickman's run on FF or Fantastic Four. They did some stuff, so it's kind of like the continuation of that. So I was interested.
Gotcha. Because I think I tried just Avengers, not New Avengers, and I'm with you. I didn't and my, I don't want to say hatred, but my dislike of Avengers kept me away from trying New Avengers.
Gotcha. Like I said, it's just so pretty. I mean, even if you don't buy it, I highly recommend just, like, flip through it just to see what I'm talking about sometime.
Well, Steve Epting's art is awesome, you know, whether, you know, his Cap stuff, his Winter Soldier stuff, his art is awesome.
Yeah, and just the coloring, and this is different because Epting stuff on Captain America was more, you know, gritty and realistic, where this is more, you know, superhero-y, but still very realistic. It's kind of slightly different, but really good.
Well, that's good to hear that book is keeping your interest, if you will. Now, the next book I want to talk about is one that I think we both read.
Right.
And that would be The Wake by Scott Snyder and Sean Murphy.
Mm-hmm.
This is Scott Snyder's new Vertigo book. That's where he got his start at DC, and that was through the Vertigo book American Vampire, which I think they're doing like a... They're doing like an oversized issue in a couple weeks, and then they're doing that Jam issue in August, and, you know, I think they're just trying to keep it alive there while Scott Snyder makes tons and tons of money writing their two biggest characters elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. Can't blame them.
It's funny about this book, and I'm not sure if you had said it on the show or if you had said it at the shop last week. about how you knew even less about this book than I did.
I think it was on the show. I honestly thought it was about a funeral. I know you're going to laugh and think I'm joking, but I thought it was a wake, you know, that someone had died. I had no idea. Bought it on Scott Snyder's name alone.
And that's what I like, you know, and that's what I like to hear. A lot of times I do too. At least I knew it was about water in some way, shape, or form because I remember the original preview image that came out at San Diego last year.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it was New York last year. It was just like, it was black and it was like a person drowning with the bubbles coming up.
Mm-hmm.
So just based on that, that was the only thing that I saw of this. And I'm like, oh, it's something about water, I guess.
And that makes me think that, like, you're talking about that image, at whether it was New York or San Diego, that, like, they announced things how far in advance. Even if I had seen that, I would have never remembered.
Right.
That's at least a year, or almost a year ago.
So, the premise of this book essentially is there's a marine biologist named Lee. She's contacted by Homeland Security, who she may or may not have worked for before. There's some tension between her and the person who comes and recruits her. She's taken to this secret underground lab where there's three other people who are there. And they were informed completely different reasons why they should be there. And if you picked up the book and you see the cover, then you'll know that there's something up. There's something more sinister than what's going on. And the book is bookended by things going on in different times.
Mm-hmm.
One is going on in the far-reaching future. The other one is going on in the far-reaching past.
Yep.
So, Todd, what did you think of this book?
I thought it was good. I wasn't blown away. It's a great, you know, opening issue. You know, you have your story of the character, gets you there, and then you have the reveal at the end, and that wants me to read more, which is the, you know, the whole point of something like that. Like I said, that's the I don't want to, you know, say it was bad. Just one of those things that I was like, okay, setting all the groundwork up, make me want to read more, but it didn't blow me away.
And again, I'm kind of the same thing, but my faith in Scott Snyder is going to obviously keep me with this. I'm completely in agreement with you. It was a great first issue. You know what's going on. You know there's a mystery. You know what the lead character is. You know enough about these. There's a ton of different little mysteries going on with it all.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm excited to see where it goes from here. I really like Sean Murphy's art in this. It's really, really awesome. And, yeah, I thought this was a good book. But it did, you know what? I'll say this. It did not feel like a Vertigo book. Like, obviously, there was violence and there was swearing in it, so everyone beware. But there was something about it that it didn't feel like a Vertigo book, if that makes any sense.
Did it feel like an Image book?
I don't know.
Well, let me ask you a question, because a lot of people with Vertigo, they immediately go to it has to be mysticism and magic, and like that was a time that was a lot of what it was, and this is mm-hmm. more like, you know, science with some weird stuff going on. You're not sure what it could be yet, you know, like how what's happening at the end is what it is. But, you know, could it be that? Because as I'm reading it, I had a different take that this would have been a really good book for any other writer that didn't have name that was Scott Snyder. Do you know what I mean? Like, not that it was bad, just like you're like, oh, you're going into it with big expectations. Not that it didn't feel like a Vertigo book to me, mm-hmm. if that makes any sense from my side. But, no, I honestly don't know what you mean by it doesn't feel like a Vertigo book.
Like, a more recent Vertigo book is, I guess, what I mean.
Okay.
Like I said, it was just... You know, I think exactly what you said is correct, that a Vertigo book over the last, like, I'd say 10 years or so has a certain... The Vertigo imprint gives you certain ideas.
Right.
And this book didn't have it. I'm not saying that is a good or a bad thing, but I liked it. I'm sticking with it. And, yeah, check it out.
Same.
If you like Scott Snyder, if you like creepy stuff, if you like mysteries, monsters, science, etc.,
mm-hmm.
check it out.
Totally agree.
So, the next... You did not read Wolverine and the X-Men 30, correct?
No, I did not.
All right. So, talk to me about Adventures of Superman. This is the next book on my pile, and I just haven't gotten a chance to read it. This is a collection of three different stories that were originally put out digitally earlier in the month of May. And this is the beginning of DC being their digital initiative, where they release the first three parts or so digitally at the beginning of the month, and at the end of the month, they're available, ready to go in print in a nice little package for us print people.
Yes. This is my second foray into the printed digital version. I did get one of the Batman ones, because it was, I know we butcher his name, Flakoff, the guy who was writing iVampire. And I really enjoyed that one, but that one was a whole story. Like, the whole issue was, you know, the three parts were all his. This is the first one that I've gotten that it's, you know, 10 pages, 10 pages, 10 pages, three different writers and artists, which I'm cool about because I love anthology books. And, you know, I didn't really think about it as a digital book. That's what it would be when you printed it. But I had so much fun with this. I have to admit, these, you know, while these aren't, you know, whatever happened to the Man of Tomorrow, this is probably the, you know, the most fun I've had reading Superman in, I don't know if I have as many fingers to say years as I need, because as we've talked about before, they seem to get them wrong. And this, I'm not really sure where he is, because, you know, without spoiling anything too much, like, Lex in this at one point is the businessman from the Burn run in one of the stories. So I don't know if this could be any era, any time, you know, you want to do Mixleplick as the wacky imp or whatever, but I'm cool with that because I liked it and I just had fun. It was Superman who being, you know, heroic and hopeful and, you know, just trying to help people, and I'm like, that's what I want. And I don't know if it's the red trunks that help out a lot, but I had fun. I hope you enjoy it.
Yes, I'm going to get to it eventually, but exactly what you're saying is that's how the Batman, The Legends of the Dark Knight digital book is, that they're just kind of nebulous Batman stories that take place whenever you want, and people are just telling stories about whatever time frame they want.
No continuity that they have to adhere to.
Exactly.
Which is really cool. I mean, that's great. That's what I think this needs, and I'll pick this up. And this wasn't even just because it was Parker, Lemire, and Jordan. Excuse me. And two of them, like, you know, I've liked some Jordan stuff and Lemire, obviously. It wasn't them that made me pick it up. It was actually a light week. And I was like, oh, some Superman. And just on that whim, it's going to make me pick it up time and time again, unless, you know, it gets really bad. but then, you know, that's that one issue with that creative team. So, you know, I'll probably give this a lot of leeway.
Right, and so far it looks like everyone's just kind of doing like little one-and-done stories, where at least with the Legend of the Dark Knight Batman book, people were doing arcs. They'd do like a three-issue arc or a two-issue arc, or there'd be occasional one-shotters, you know?
Right, because I remember on the Flakoff one, that was to be continued. You know, and I was like, oh, I want to get this, but now that I don't think he's working at DC anymore, we'll get the second half. But with this one, out of the three stories, love two of them, like the third one. So I'm like, that's a pretty good batting average right there.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'm just looking here because they have the next couple parts up here of the, you know, like the next three that are to be collected.
Mm-hmm.
And I know what you're saying. And it looks to be their three little one-shotters.
Mm-hmm.
One is written by Brian Glass with art by Michael Oeming.
I like him. He did Suicide Squad.
Right, right. The other one is art by Joelle Jones, and that's written by Flakoff.
Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then the other one is art by Sal Buscema, of all people.
Wow.
Written by J.M. DeMatteis.
I don't know about him. That guy's a bit of a hack. But yeah, that's going to be a good issue too, you know? So
yeah, and just looking here, Joelle Jones is currently doing Helheim for Oni and had previously done Madame Xanadu.
Ah.
So the first six installments of Adventures of Superman are available digitally. If you're a print person, they're putting them out three every month. So, you know, the first three are out in print, and then you could get the rest of them, I'm sure, in a month.
And every time you say Helheim, I flash back, just so you know.
Slowly you turn.
Yep. I feel getting yelled at again.
So the last book that we read from this past week, and again, I promise we're going to be more on track this upcoming week. I'm going to make it a point to make sure that I read everything. So lots of stuff is being pushed back. I didn't get a chance to read Doctor Who, but I know you wanted to talk about Doctor Who this week.
That broke my heart. I felt like you betrayed me a little, but yeah. I understand you're a busy man. I wanted to school you in every doctor, and now I feel that, you know, a chapter will be missing from your life.
Somehow, that slipped to the bottom of my pile.
Shocking.
It even slipped underneath the tablet that I keep track of things in somehow.
Somehow it's under the foundation of the house.
No, let's not go crazy. I'm not that dumb that I'm just gonna buy a book just because I lost a bet and then throw it in the garbage. What kind of monster would I be?
Just take that one step and give it to someone. Here, you throw this away.
That's one of my favorite Mitch Hedberg jokes, mm-hmm. with the pamphlet here. You take this and throw it away.
Mm-hmm.
So since you didn't read it, we'll just get into things here. This is Wolverine and the X-Men number 30. A friend of mine at work he's like, I need to read an X-Men book. And this is the one that I told him. I'm like, go pick up 29 because that's kind of like a standalone thing that sets the course, I would think, for the next year of the book. This issue that came out this past week, issue 30, is the prelude to the Hellfire Saga. The little punk kids who are now in charge of the Hellfire Club are starting their own school, and they're recruiting people from Wolverine's school. There's always, like, three constant stories going on, because there's so many characters in this book. Of course, you have Wolverine trying to hunt the Hellfire Club down. You have Beast taking Brew, the little Brew, up to the flying helicarrier in space, to this horrible brood scientist person to try to fix the little brood guy who got shot, and now he's like all feral and crazy. And then Quentin Quire is trying to figure out what's going on, why people are defecting from Wolverine School to the Hellfire Academy School. And it's all setting everything up for the big storyline that's coming up. There's a reveal of who the traitor is, who's been sending information to the Hellfire School, and why. And I cannot stress this enough. The art in this book by Pascal Ferry and Pepe Lazar, I'm not sure I'm pronouncing that correctly. I'm saying it foolishly.
We got a name wrong on this show? Shocking.
Yes. But primarily Pascal Ferry. His art is so awesome in this. There's a bunch of really cool monsters, like Dr. Xanto, the evil brood scientist, and the Bamps and everything else. They're all really awesome designs on all these monsters, and he draws them super cool.
I know Pascal Ferry was doing Journey into Mystery, I think, or the Thor book or something, and that was one of the things that, like, Tom and Dave at the shop, they would just talk about him all the time, and I wasn't reading any of his stuff, so I'm not as familiar. I've seen a couple of things and really enjoyed it, though.
Yeah, he was doing the Mighty Thor book, and he was doing bits and pieces on Journey into Mystery, it looks like. But yeah, he was doing a lot of Thor.
Yeah. So, that's cool.
So I've said it before, I'll say it again, definitely check out Wolverine the X-Men number 29, which came out a couple weeks ago, and then 30, which just came out this past week.
And that's Jason Aaron, right?
Yes, it is, of course, Jason Aaron.
He does some good books.
He certainly does. So what's this Doctor Who news that you begged me to mention on the show? Oh,
I begged. You twisted my arm to talk about it.
Yes.
Well, Matt Smith, the current Doctor, has announced that he is leaving, and it's very soon. I don't want to say the exact show in case you want to be surprised, but I don't think you're going to make it to that show because it's one of those things that they love to know when the regeneration is coming with the Doctor. But it was funny because, like, a week ago, he mentioned in an interview that it was a really long time that he was going to stay. He was like, oh, I'm going to do this amount of episodes. And you're like, okay, that's cool. And then a newspaper got a hold of this. I do believe that it leaked. I think they wanted to surprise us for the first time, other than, like, maybe the first time he regenerated, because nobody knew that. But, like, at least when you get to, like, Tom Baker, that's the Scarf Doctor for you, Leonard.
I know who that is.
Right. He once, like, after that, all the regenerations, like, they're like, oh, you know, this, he's going to regenerate in this episode, and this is the guy that they've got to replace him, and, like, they have the whole, you know, PR machine in place to go. And I feel that this, like, when he said a week ago that he was staying for a while, that this one they wanted to get us. And I think somebody along the way slipped it to a newspaper. And that kind of makes me sad because it would have been cool to just watch that episode and go, oh my God, it happened. And I had no clue. So makes me sad.
So is there a reason he's leaving? Is he quitting? Is he unhappy? What's going on?
I think it's just that his tenure has come. I think, you know, when it came back, the guy who did it, the Ninth Doctor, he did it one season. Then Tennant came and he did it for a couple of seasons. Matt Smith is like two or three episodes away from doing it as long as the last Doctor, David Tennant did. I think you get worried you're going to get typecast. Also, you want to do other stuff. Something I didn't know, as the Doctor, you know, playing the Doctor, you can't do any endorsements. You have to, like, do... Like, you're the Doctor. They don't let you do too many other projects. Like, you're not going to go off and do, you know, movies and blah, blah, blah. You're going to go, and you're going to go on kids' shows, and you're going to go over here to this talk show, and you're going to tour, and you're going to be... so-and-so, the guy who plays the Doctor. And I do think as an actor, after like 4 years of that, you get a little, you know, you're like, oh, I want to go do something else. Maybe the money, you know, after 4 years you want to get more money. But here's the thing. It's a show that has you know, it's a revolving door for actors as the Doctor. It has something written into the script that you know that they're eventually going to write you out and put another guy in. So it could be any of those, but he seems happy. Just time to move on.
So, and again, I have to ask, so he is the 12th Doctor, is that correct?
He is the 11th Doctor right now, but there's rumors that at the end of this last season that there was a guy who was an incarnation of this character, but because he did something so bad that he's not given the name the Doctor...
Right.
So he's one of them, but he doesn't get the name. So the numbering is still the same, but this would be the 12th incarnation of that character. I know that's really confusing, but that's the way it goes. I think that's the way they're going to get around having to repackage all the numbering of the characters.
Well, I guess what does... I can't believe I'm asking this question. What does this mean for the comic book series that I'm currently reading?
I'm wondering if we might get the new Doctor in the end of this, you know, but I don't know. I don't know. I'm wondering if we'll get 11 issues, and then the 12th will be a giant team-up. So, like, all 11, and whether this other Doctor, who's not the Doctor, is going to be in the comic at all. I don't know. I have to wait and see, just like you. Which makes me kind of excited. I know you're not, you know, like...
No, I'm interested to see about this, because I know it's, obviously, it's a big news story that the current Doctor is stepping down, and, you know, it's something that people are into.
It is, and it's funny that, like, when it was announced this weekend, literally, my Twitter blew up. I had to, like, turn my phone off for a little while. People were like, Todd, what do you think? And I'm like, everybody relax, I've been through this. I've been through this, like, 7 times. Relax. Everybody's like, will it be a black guy for the first time? I'm like, relax. We'll see. I don't know. Will it be a woman? Every time the Doctor is regenerated since the 4th Doctor, there's been a rumor that it's going to be a woman, and it hasn't happened. Maybe they'll surprise us this time. But I'm like, everybody, I know this, you know, the new people who are on board, it's something you have to get used to. If you're going to be a fan from here on out, it's going to happen. So you relax, Leonard. I know you're worried.
I'm very upset by this.
Nah. You'll be okay.
I'll somehow get through.
I'll hold your hand through the whole episode.
Okay. So, we got what we read from last week out of the way. We got the digital stuff. We got the news. Todd, I'm going to ask you, what are you looking forward to coming out this week?
Oh, it's tough because I have 3 books, so I'm going to say all 3 and then I'm going to make a pick.
You only have 3 books this week?
No, I have 3 choices.
Oh,
I have 17 books this week, I think. I might have to, you know, use somebody's help me cut down my pull list, but not you though. It's Ultimates number 25 is Filakoff's taking that over.
Oh, okay.
And I love him. I want to try that. Green Lantern 21, you know, I want to see, you know, I want to give this guy a chance. A lot of people I hear are jumping off the book after John's left. And Astro City number 1 to see if it's as good, you know, if you can go home again. So I'm going to say Astro City number 1 to see if we can go home again. That's the book I'm looking forward to most.
Okay, because the book I'm most looking forward to this week is also Astro City number one.
Nailed it!
Yes. I feel that we can go home again. I have not read anything about the solicitations. I don't know what the issue's about. I'm happy to see the team back together again. I know they're calling it a Vertigo book. I hope they didn't just throw some random swearing in there just because it's a Vertigo book now. I hope they just couldn't figure out where to put it and they didn't want to get it confused with the new 52 stuff. So they're just like, let's put it over there. Let's put it over there. But it's Kurt Busiek, art by Brent Anderson, covers by Alex Ross. I was actually just texting someone about this earlier today, telling that they need to pick this up. And also in my article that I write for my buddy Brian's blog, bealittleweird.com, this was my pick of the week as well. Non-reprint pick of the week as well. My reprint pick of the week is Volume 18 of The Walking Dead, but I already have that. I already have that.
Yeah. So I'm wondering if next week we'll be listening to you complain that Astro City doesn't feel like a Vertigo book.
No, it's not going to feel like a Vertigo book, but at least this is something that I've read before, and I know what it's supposed to feel like.
I'm just tweaking you. Yeah, I know what you mean, though. So... But yeah, there's a lot, like 17 books. That's insane. I gotta do something about that.
No, you don't.
No, I don't. Can't take it. We can't take the money with you. Never seen a hearse with a luggage rack, so.
I like that. I like that saying. That's a good one.
Yeah.
So we line up again.
Yeah, well, you know what? It's Great Minds. It's that whole Great Minds thing.
Yes.
They think alike or something.
So let's get into Sketch Party. Again, we had some good entries here. Rick Williams, Free Karate Chops there on Twitter, sent in his Red Hood that he got from Tyler James, mm-hmm. who is a really cool artist. Mr. Senior, who always has something that he puts together himself, and that sketch pad that he has is probably just loaded with these. It's a really cool Larfleeze that he drew.
Mine.
Yes. And then, of course, yours, which I forgot about at the end of the show. For some reason, I did not locate it. Did you not put the hashtag in it for shame?
I'm pretty sure I hashtagged in it. Mm. I think you're just getting old. I think that's what the problem is.
Yeah, again,
I'm clicking on it right now in my handy-dandy phone. No, there's a Sketch Party hashtag there.
Yeah, well, that's my mind. I don't know. I blame myself.
Okay, I just felt, you know, threatened by your words. So
yes. So yours is a Casey Jones by Kevin Eastman. You had said, correct?
Yes. I got it at New York. Met Peter Larrad was there. It was, I think it was the 25th anniversary. It was either 20 or the 25th. I'd have to 20th. So I went and. I met Peter Larrad. I was getting a sketch off him, and I asked him if he would do me a Casey Jones, and he's like, no, I only do the Turtles, but Eastman is over at the Heavy Metal booth. He'll do it for you. He's the one who created it. He loves them, and I know for a fact he'll do it for you. And I was like, Kevin Eastman's here. I forgot that he owns Heavy Metal. He bought it. So he was at the booth. It was one of those that he wasn't in Artist Alley, so he wasn't mentioned there. So I ran over. And there he is, and he is one of, like, if I ever do, like, my top five nicest creators I've ever met, he is one of them. The guy's, like, got to be, what, a billionaire by now from all the, you know, the bank that he made off Turtles?
Sure.
He stood there, and he talked to every person, took every question that they had. You know, I was talking to him about Casey. He's like, yeah, I'll do a Casey for you, no problem. And he was telling me about how he was created and what was going on. I thought that was cool. I was like, oh, I feel bad for bothering. He's like, no, everything that I have is because of you guys. He's like, you know, like, you guys being Turtle fans is what got me where I am, and I thank you. And we sat and we talked about the new Heavy Metal movie that he wanted to do, you know, with the guy who did Fincher was going to direct it. One of the things, and all the other directors he had, and that never came about, and it makes me sad that because the stills that he had, the roughs looked beautiful, and I wanted to see that movie. But he's going to be at the New York Con this year, so I may get a chance to talk to him again.
Nice.
I'll get back to you on that Heavy Metal movie.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. So, again, I do thank everyone for contributing. We're going to figure out a new a hashtag for that, something not so isolated as Saturday Sketch or something. We've had some good choices. The staff is running them through to see which ones have are going to have the best traction.
Sometimes with the staff, though, we have to beat them to get them efficient.
That is true. That is true. So, of course, you can always contact us to let us know what sketch you want us to see by shooting it to us on Twitter. And the show Twitter is Weekly Long Box. Todd is on Twitter at Roker the Joker, R-O-W-K-E-R the Joker. And I am L.F. Chikarison, still, and I will always be that. That's L-F-C-H-I-K-A-R-A-S-O-N. I've been Leonard F. Chikarison my whole life, so, you know, Chikar may not be around, but I will be. I'm going nowhere.
Yep, and I will always call you Leonard Chikarison.
Yes. So, let's also get into our Twitter question from last week. I apologize for being so distracted here, still thinking about this weekend. And that was your favorite cover. And, of course, we got tons and tons of options. And I would be remiss to mention that we did have some crossover, but not a ton. There was a bunch of these covers that I knew immediately that I didn't even need to click on the links for. And, like, I know what the cover that is. I know what cover that is because that's how much they stick in your mind, you know?
I know what you mean.
You know, there were some easy ones, some layups, if you will, stuff like Action Comics number 1, mentioned by Kevin Hellions, Superman number 75 by Mark Goetzinger, one of the folks that I mentioned, who we haven't heard from in a while, and I don't know, I'll be honest with you, that one I didn't know what the cover looked like, because I never took it out of the bag.
Saving it for retirement?
That's right. Kevin Ford at KFord13 mentioned the trade cover by George Perez for the Infinity Gauntlet, which is a really super cool cover.
Any George Perez.
And then there
Perez.
Were some... I'm sorry?
Any George Perez cover is usually a good one.
Yes. Then there were some obscure ones that popped up. But I knew them. Like, there was an Incredible Hulk number 435, which is a pastiche of Casey at the Bat with the Hulk and the Rhino.
Yeah.
And as soon as I saw that was 435, I'm like, I know what cover that is.
Mm-hmm.
Just right off the top of my head, there was a lot of X-Men titles got a lot of love. Todd Ingram mentioned New Mutants 37, which is a really funky cover. Heather Nelson mentioned Extreme X-Men number 2, which is a cover of Gambit and Rogue getting it on, making out, nothing disgusting. Come on, guys.
Yeah, keep it clean.
And another, I guess, kind of obscure, and like Spider-Man was the other one who got a lot of love. The Todd McFarlane Spider-Man number 1 was mentioned. There was a really super cool Hydro Man cover. There's a lot going on in the cover. I think that one, let me look here at my notes. Michael Hanskar mentioned that one as his favorite cover. It's Hydro Man drowning Spidey, Hydro Man saying stuff. There's an inset with Venom, and there's word bubbles on the cover, and that's always a plus for me if there's word bubbles on the cover.
Mm-hmm.
And I forgot from that era that Amazing Spider-Man said the non-mutant superhero.
I forgot about that too. I remember that now.
So we had tons and tons of choices submitted by our listeners, and I do thank everyone for contributing. But the one that did have some crossover, two or three people mentioned this one, is the winner. And if it is not yours, Todd, I'll be sorely, sorely disappointed in you. So I'll let you go first.
My favorite cover is Rob Liefeld's... No, I'm kidding.
How dare you!
My favorite cover of all time is going to be Kevin Maguire's Justice League number 1 from 1987.
And that is mine as well. Possibly the most lifted and most homaged cover of all time. Cusack clone Zeus Ramos agrees with us. Tom Gehrke agrees with us. This is the best cover of all time. You should definitely go check that one out.
And I was looking on Kevin Maguire's eBay and his Twitter and stuff. He's doing a Batman 66 version of this, and he had the rough for sale. I didn't see how much it went for because it went like in a snap. But he said he's thinking about doing various different groups and teams as like you know, the Justice League cover. He said he'd like to do a James Bond one, maybe do an Arrested Development one. He did an Avengers movie version of one. So he said, like, when he's not doing his monthly book, which, you know, we talked about earlier, he wants to do some of these and then sell them on eBay. And I'm like, oh, my wallet's going to hurt. So maybe we'll find one for you. But
so that, yeah, that would be really good. That's going to be really fun, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So again, I do thank you all for contributing to the Twitter question this week, and you can always just throw the hashtag GrizzWLQ on there, and I'll track them down as I do each and every week. This one is one I hope that we get a lot of traction on. You never know. Sometimes we do get some traction on these ones, and sometimes we don't. This is going to be, what is your favorite real-life celebrity cameo in comics? Someone from our world crossing over into the comics and interacting with your favorite comic book character.
Hmm.
The one that I'll give as an example that I highly doubt anyone will mention is when Aerosmith appeared in Valiant Comics Shadow Man.
Mm. Okay, I was thinking
that's your example.
Or Freddie Prinze Jr. in, what was he in, Ultimates? I think.
Yes, he was.
So stuff like that.
Exactly.
Gotcha. That's an interesting one. Do you have an answer in your head already?
I have a couple ideas.
Okay. I have a few too, but it's nothing for sure
just yet.
Mm-hmm. It's a good question.
So, that's why sometimes these things come to me.
Well, you are a visionary. You're a futurist.
So, again, unless there's, I think, yeah, so just tweet us next week what your favorite celebrity appearance or cameo or whatever may have you would be from comics. Throw the hashtag GrizzWLQ on there, and we'll make sure to talk about them here next week.
Now, is it celebrity or real person?
You know, celebrity, real person, you know.
Okay, because I'm going to use me as the answer if it's just real person.
No, so it'll... Well, you are a celebrity. You're the co-host of a very popular podcast on the internet.
I'm going to go with a celebrity that's not me, just to keep this... Oh, okay. Just keep it above board, you know what I mean?
Gotcha.
All right.
So, unless there's anything else that you want to talk about here, Todd?
Nope, I'm good.
All right. Well, for Todd, this is Leonard closing out episode 81 of the Weekly Long Box, and we will catch you all here next week.